Well, happy Father's Day to all the guys out there. Happy Father's Day. And of course, fatherhood is a role that kind of shifts and changes. Being a father is not always a biological thing, right? Some of the best dads we experience in the world, maybe our dads that we had, fathers that we had that weren't necessarily our biological parents. And so we're talking really more about a role, aren't we? What is the role of a father? And Scripture is pretty good about describing that, talking about that. Do I get something? All right, very good. That looks good. Raspberry dark chocolate. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wow, I'm going to put that right over here. And so when we think about fathers, we think about fathers in a traditional sense, and it's hard. We think about being a father in a traditional sense, breadwinner, right? Got to go out, got to work hard, got to bring home a paycheck, got to feed your family, care for your family in the traditional sense. That's what a father is. Disciplinarian, right? Usually it falls to the father to be the disciplinarian. I know as time has gone by, roles have changed, and that's a whole nother sermon. Just kind of narrowing it down today for the purposes of talking about fathers, but usually the father can be or is the disciplinarian. I know when I was a kid, you know, just wait till your father gets home. I was such an angel, though. That didn't happen very often, right, Mom? Yeah, didn't need to have that. Here's a big one. Father needs to be present. How about that? A father just needs to be present. And we've had so many conversations in our culture about that. Fathers that are just not present. They're just gone. And not off like, you know, making a fortune somewhere, just gone. And so what might be the result of an absent of a father figure, at least in that traditional sense? And then where that all goes is what should a father be? And a father should be wise. Wisdom for the purposes of the lessons today and what the lessons are communicating to us. A father should be wise, to have wisdom. And once again, it's hard, it's tough. It takes discipline to have wisdom. And it's because oftentimes if we think about being wise or having wisdom, and this applies to all of us, you know, this just isn't a message for the guys today, but I direct it that way because it's Father's Day. It takes discipline to be wise because a lot of times we have to do something or not do something that we would rather do or not do. You know, we have to do the opposite of where our inclination would take us. That could be all the way from speaking words, I would really love to tell that person, and sometimes that's wisdom. Or doing something or not doing something. I think you get the idea. Working against our human nature sometimes is part and parcel of wisdom. Intelligence is understanding how things work. So if I am intelligent, I can know all about meteorology. I can describe to you weather patterns and how the clouds form and how the rain falls and why it can be predicted most of the time, the various systems. That's being intelligent, but wisdom is knowing that I better come in from the rain when it's cold outside and raining because I might catch a cold. That's wisdom. Wisdom is doing the right thing, making the right choice. Intelligence, being intelligent and learning things is very important, but it's a beginning stepping stone because we all know that we can probably look at our own lives and realize, well, I've learned a lot of stuff. But just because I've learned a lot of stuff doesn't necessarily mean that I do what I'm supposed to do. I still eat certain ways. I still probably don't move around as much as I should, and on and on and on. So intelligence is not to be confused with wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Well, we go to our first reading for today. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way at the crossroads? She takes her stand. To you, O people, I call, and my call is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work. And so I kind of had a little fun with this. I thought, well, wait a minute. Well, I've read the Bible, and didn't on the first day God create light? Doesn't say anything about creating wisdom. What's this all about? And that's where you kind of have to use wisdom a little bit in thinking about what's going on here. So it's kind of fun. It's a fun thing to think about when you go to the first chapter in Genesis and you start reading about the days and what God creates. And so on the first day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Isn't it interesting that we're talking about day, and we're talking about night, and we're talking about evening, and we're talking about morning? But we have to ask ourselves the question, are those things necessarily attached to light as we look at it with our eyeballs? And then we read on the fourth day, God created the expanse of the sky, separated the day from the night. He created the lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day? But yet on the first day, he creates light. Now we can get all in ourselves in a kerfuffle, or we can apply wisdom. What is light? What is light as opposed to darkness? Well, I kind of think that what God is doing is setting the very foundation of existence. You got to have that in order to have that. In other words, it's all just roiling chaos, isn't it? Like darkness and water churning together with no definition, which is what it all is before God creates light. And then on the first day when God creates light, all of the sudden there's something there that wasn't there before. Light, darkness, time, timelessness, right and wrong, good and evil, foolishness and wisdom. And so on the first day, I think we get all caught up in thinking about the light, and we think about our eyeballs looking on stuff and the lights reflecting off of things. And then if we're not entirely wise and we realize God doesn't create the sun and the moon and the stars until the fourth day, we might be tempted to say, see, it's just all a bunch of nonsense. It's all just a big fairy tale. But can you create light in a dark room with a flashlight? It's got nothing to do with the sun, does it? Or the moon, or the stars. And so light exists apart from the things in the sky. Light is something incredible and wonderful and mysterious. But it also is God on the first day establishing boundaries. And the old rabbis, Moses, when he was writing these books, was encouraging his people to think and to ponder. And so, yes, light and darkness, but also notice how it's tied to day and night, the passage of time. And so on the first day, God creates a day. And that's a pretty incredible thing. That's why when we go to our first reading for today from Proverbs, it's absolutely true. That's why we can read from the book of Proverbs. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Before the mountains had been shaped, before I was there. And so God creates wisdom. If not on the first day, before the first day. And so we see the ability to be wise, to discern the truth, that which really happens and really is, from that which is false and fake, is there from the very beginning. I think it's interesting when people like to say, well, you know, there is no truth. And I want to say, oh, really? Is that the truth? Or people say, well, we can never know the truth. And I want to say, well, then why are you even bothering to open your mouth and talk about it? Because obviously you're trying to tell me something. You see, it's a self-defeating thing. When we deny the truth, it just defeats itself. Our argument defeats itself. We're like that guy that's sitting on the branch, and all the while we're arguing, we're cutting the branch off that we're sitting on. If there is no truth, then what the heck are we talking about? And so the next time somebody tries to say, well, you know, there is no truth. You go, oh, really? Is that the truth? As they try to tell you something and get you to believe something that they believe to be true. Fathers need to stand for truth. Wisdom points to truth. Truth brings peace. Peace brings a blessed life and knowledge and understanding of eternal life. And we see that in our second reading for today. The second reading from Romans chapter 5 divides itself kind of into two prongs, if you will. There are two things that Paul is trying to communicate to us today as he is writing in the book of Romans in chapter 5. I'm going to go to the second one first, verse 3. He's talking about how we're justified through faith. But not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Now, that doesn't mean that suffering and all these things are good. It's not like we should be praying for suffering, but Paul in Romans is talking about, what is your reaction when hard things come your way? You have choices. You can just gripe and complain and think it's unusual and that this world, if we just worked hard enough, could be paradise. And who needs heaven? Because I'm living here now and everything can be just wonderful. But golly darn it, here I am. I'm suffering. And we can allow it to crush us. Crush us and defeat us and destroy us. Or, and it's not fun, to the best of our ability, we can do what Paul is talking about today. Boast in our sufferings. He's talking about sufferings in the Lord. He's not talking about injustices that are meted upon people. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Once again, life is a process. And sometime in that process of life, and this is what good fathers know, sometimes the answer is no. No. We're not doing that today. No, I hope you never do that. That's a wrong thing. And so that can be seen as kind of a suffering, right? I can't do what I want to do. I'm suffering. But hopefully within a process, we start to learn. Gosh, it's a good thing I didn't go down that path, because where would I be today? Had I gone that way, where would I be today? And you just have to live life in order to realize this process. Suffering, endurance, character, hope. Some would say we have it too easy. I'll leave that up for you to decide. But if you feel that tendency in your life, you're getting lazy, physically, spiritually, mentally, and then laziness breeds discontent, and discontent breeds arguing, and arguing produces strife, and oh boy, have you watched the news lately? Yeah. Instead, what's the first prong? We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Wisdom directs us to understanding and realizing we are justified by faith through our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as a result of that, we have peace with God. Peace with God, something that no one can offer you other than God, God's self. Peace with God. Obtained access to the grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God? What should we be boastful of? What should we be proud of? We should be boastful and proud of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything that we feel up, welling up within ourselves that would cause us to think about lifting ourselves up higher above others, well, we have to be very careful with that kind of pride, right? And ultimately, as long as we're boasting in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are on the right track. Can we bear this information? Will we have the wisdom to process this kind of information? Well, Jesus in our gospel today was speaking to a bunch of guys. They were his 12 disciples, and he knew they couldn't understand it, and they couldn't bear it. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus when he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in the Father. Believe also in me. Truly, I go ahead to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you so that you may be where I am." This incredible message of salvation. But why has Jesus told them that? Because he's just told them he's going to be arrested, tortured, crucified, and die. And these disciples don't want to hear it. Here we are two chapters later, and if you go through your Bible and flip the pages, believe it or not, we're still on the same conversation. Jesus still just a-talking and a-talking and a-talking to people who cannot bear the message. "I still have many things to say to you," Jesus says, "but you cannot bear them now." And that also is wisdom. Have you ever been unwise? Have you ever had somebody sitting in front of you and you want to press a point home so deeply, it's so important to you, and you're talking and you're talking and you're talking, and all of a sudden their eyes start wandering, and then maybe they pull out their cell phone and they start flipping pages, and you're still just a-talking and a-talk. It may be because that person can't bear what you're saying at that time. You know, it doesn't hurt sometimes, if you have that opportunity, to parcel it up a little bit. Parcel it up a little bit. And I can speak from experience on that as a clergy. Sometimes that happens. You're just so excited about something. You just can't help yourself. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." He will guide you in all the truth. He will guide you in all the truth. And why? Because the Spirit will speak whatever he hears, and what does he hear? He hears that which comes from God, the Most High. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've been singing about it. The three who are one, the one that is three. Speaking to us with the incredible message of salvation. So fathers, it's a challenge. Life's not fair, but we can probably handle it. Those of us that are fathers or close to young people in our lives, be that voice of wisdom. Be the one that is strong. Be the one that is present. Be the one that makes a difference, but through a way of love and caring and patience. That's what we're called to do. And that's a good thing to be reminded of on Father's Day. As our Father in heaven is so merciful and loving to us, let us then show that love to one another. Amen.